To give you a little context for these passages that he just read, we need to back up a little bit to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Before he had really started teaching and preaching, he was in the synagogue in Nazareth and he read from the scriptures. And it was from that point on that people began to realize that Jesus was preaching a little bit different message. That God was not just the God for the Jews, but that God was the God for all humanity. And he began to tell that message throughout the region. Then last week we talked about how that on the Sabbath, his disciples ate grain that they picked with their hands. And then how the man with the withered hand was healed on the Sabbath. That was outside the rules of Jewish life at the time. And we talked about how that Jesus felt that the human beings were more important than these rules. And immediately after that, he began to teach what we sometimes call the Sermon on the Plain, which is not like snakes on the plain, but P-L-A-I-N. And it's a really creative way, and it's called that because the Bible says he went to a flat piece of land. But when he was talking to his disciples during that sermon, he said, a lot of things that were counter to the way culture was and what people knew. He was describing an ethic, a way to live in the kingdom of God. The upside down world created by a God who cares for all humanity and who holds humanity as something that's important and something to be loved. And it starts out by saying, blessed are you who are poor. Well, that doesn't make much sense, does it? He goes on to say, woe to you who are rich. Well, that doesn't make sense either. It's upside down. It's different. He says, you should love your enemies. Well, that's not the way we normally do it, is it? He says, you should pray for your enemies. Well, that's kind of hard to do, too. He said, don't judge. We all do that. He says, don't judge. Don't look out and say, hey, my brother, my sister, you've got a speck in your eye. Let me help you get it out when you've got a log in your own. That's what the kingdom of God looks like to Jesus. And he spends half an afternoon telling people about this. And then he proceeds to walk towards Capernaum. And that's where he runs into some Jewish elders who are friends with the Roman centurion. That's where Jesus stops and says, okay, I've never seen faith like this in all of Judaism. I've never seen the faith that this one centurion has. And he's amazed at what happens. And Jesus doesn't even have to touch the slave, doesn't even have to enter the household. But the person's healed. Jesus continues to walk, and Scripture says that there's a great crowd following him. Now, I know it's a little warped, but I always picture Forrest Gump when he's running across the country and there's all these people running behind him. Right? That's what I picture when it says Jesus is walking with his crowd of disciples and all these other people following him around. So here they come into another city. This one's called Nain. And as they're walking in, they see a funeral. Now, funerals for us are a little more sanitized than they were in the first century Near East. There was actually a profession of professional mourners. And it may sound crazy to us, and I'm sure most of you have seen it in movies, where there's making all kinds of racket and noise, and there's people that are surrounding the funeral procession, and it's noisy and all of this. But it was done for not only to honor the person, but it was also done to protect the dignity of the family. Because if everyone's acting a fool, nobody's going to notice when the family does it. It was meant to give them a safety net in which they could experience their grief And if it got wild, so be it. There were so many other wild people around. But in this particular funeral procession, Jesus comes in and he walks up to them. And he knows that it's a widow who's lost her only son. Now, the Hebrew word for widow means voiceless, because in that culture, a woman did not have a voice. She could not speak, and she could not own property. She could not do anything without a man to help her. Now, this woman was bereaved. She'd lost her husband. But she had a second chance at a voice with her son. Her son could act on her behalf and help her through a culture that was male-dominated. But now she'd lost her son. This woman was truly without a voice in a culture that did not give her much hope. Jesus is walking by this and he looks at it and he feels compassion. He feels compassion. He is hurting inside because he knows the predicament of this woman and the loss, the double loss that she suffered in her life. And he walks up and he touches the funeral bier and he stops it. First of all, that would be unclean. He shouldn't have done that. But we've already seen he walks outside the lines quite a bit. He walks up and he touches it and stops it. Then he looks at the young man and says, "Arise." And the man sits up, and what is the first thing he starts doing? He starts talking. The woman's voice has returned. Jesus felt compassion, and he wanted us to see that. But then I think one of the exciting things is what Luke describes as the response of the crowd. Luke says they all were in fear of what happened, because that was a little freaky, but they also said, "God has visited God's people." This was the same way they referred to when Moses led the people out in the Exodus. God visited God's people then. This was a mighty moment when God visited God's people. Now I want you to think about that scenario for just a minute. And instead of being in a dusty first century Galilean town, let's imagine it moved forward in time. And instead of being a funeral, I want you to think about the thing you biggest fear. That one thing that next week or next year, that one thing that's coming into your life, a new home, a new job, having to move, or something you fear, like an accident, an illness, or a scandal of some sort, a tragedy that comes into your life. I want you to think about that for a moment. Just like the widow was grieving over what was going on in her lives, I want you to think about the emotions that you would feel at that moment when that event that you are so scared about happens. When that happens, you are wrapped and racked with all kinds of emotion. You're angry, you're bitter, you're scared, you're frightened. And think, at just that moment, in walks Jesus. He walks right up to whatever is in your life that has created this firestorm of emotion, and he puts out his hand and he stops it. When you're in that moment and you're listening for what Jesus says, it may not be what you want to hear. It may not be exactly what you want to happen. But the key is that Jesus has compassion on us and wants to walk right into the middle of the firestorm with us. And it may not turn out the way we want, but the one vital thing is true, that once Jesus is in the middle with you, you will be able to get to the other side. Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.